This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون صدق الله العظيم. So we are still in the process of discussing and enumerating the qualities, the attributes, and the salient features of the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. I often say to people, sometimes we choose to identify ourselves with a particular digit. So we say, no, I'm a Muslim. Why? Because my phone number, my cell number is 786, or the number plate or the registration of my car is 786. And this is how we kind of reflect or exhibit or display our claim to be a Muslim home or a Muslim individual. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes who are the true believers. Who are the true believers? Verse number 4, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. And those who pay their zakat, those who discharge their zakat, those who perform their zakat. Now, what is meant by zakat here? Zakat, zakka, yuzakki, tazkiya, literally means to purify. And of course, by you discharging your zakat, you are purifying your wealth. You are purifying your wealth. And let me also say that if you are a person who is a recipient of zakat by the legislation of the sharia, and not where you are deliberately creating a scenario by incurring debts, I like to qualify that, because unfortunately today a lot of people deliberately abuse and exploit it, where they just incur debts and then they just anticipate zakat. So we're not talking of that context, but someone who is truly toiling, working, but unfortunately he's not breaking even, as the Quran says that تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافَ. There are many people who are worthy and are deserving and are entitled. You would recognize them from their signs, but they would not ask or beg incessantly, because they have that, they self-restrain upon themselves. So you should not feel bad about it. If you are in the situation and it satisfies the requirements, one of the categories, the asnafe thamaniya, innama sadaqatu lil fuqara'i wal masakin wal amilin alayha, etc., then the Quran has legislated this, and for such a person it would be correct to take zakat. At the same time, if Allah has made you one who discharges zakat, then you should be grateful to Allah that He has given you the hand that is giving out. He's giving out, and that is, the kindness and the boon and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. So you are not doing any favor to the recipient of zakat. You are not doing any favor to the recipient of zakat. You are discharging your due and your obligation, and you are purifying your wealth. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Those who perform their zakat, those who discharge their zakat, مؤدون. Now, does zakat here mean in its literal, academic, juristic meaning of zakat? There's two opinions given here. Some scholars say that here zakat refers to the purification of your actions. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. The one who's purified himself, purified his heart, refined his character, refined his actions, because that is what is love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like in everything else, you want refinement, you want purification, you don't want adulteration, you want it to be noble and wholesome. So Allah also wants you to purify your character. And the purification of character is an arduous task. It takes a long time. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, of course, on that lofty station of sublime and impeccable character. But we ought to aspire for that. And with good character, a person could be a catalyst for good. I often say, regardless of the branch of religion you are engaged in, whether you are doing welfare work, or you're a tutor in an institution, or you are giving da'wah to people, or you are serving in your local masjid, or you're helping in any other sphere. But if you lack and you are devoid of good character, then I'm afraid you would be more a blockage to that branch of the religion than an attraction. Because people would say, really? Is this what social welfare is all about? That somebody comes and makes condescending remarks, who interrogates you, uses language that is demeaning to the self-esteem of that person? No, that's not the way you would be working, with respect, honor, and dignity. To the extent, hatta lo sammahu hadiyya. I don't like to go into juristic explanations, but this is mentioned in Nurul Ida. The scholars have written that if a person satisfies the requirements of being a recipient of zakat, so you know he's below the threshold line, he doesn't have any extra asset or surplus wealth, and he is a zakatable case, he is a legitimate candidate, but at the same time he has a lot of respect and morality and dignity, so you can give him the zakat for which he is entitled to, but you say to him, this is a gift to you. So you don't tell him. Of course, the homework needs to be done, and I hope I'm explaining that carefully and clearly, and I'm not mincing my words in any way. The individual, the beneficiary, the recipient ought to be, satisfying, and the eligibility needs to be absolute. So he must be eligible for zakat by the definition of the categories. But when you give him the zakat, you don't have to tell him this is zakat. You can say this is a gift to you, because that is preserving the self-esteem of that individual. So many scholars say that here it refers to the purification of your character, the purification of your deeds. Why? Because this chapter is Makkiyah. It was revealed prior to Makkah, and the laws of zakat were revealed in Medina. So then the description of zakat here would not be in its istilahi meaning, in its official terminology of zakat, but it would refer to the purification of your actions, etc. While other scholars, the likes of Ibn Kathir and others, they have countered this opinion to say that no, if you really look at the verses carefully and closely, you would realize that principally the laws or the rule of zakat was revealed even in the Meccan period. But the detail account, the tafsil of that, was then legislated and revealed in detail in Medina. And they cite numerous proof, and one amongst them is Surah Muzammil. So Surah Muzammil is in the 29 juz of the Quran, chapter 73, comprising of 20 verses. And many say that this was the second chapter to be revealed after Surah Alaq. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Some say Surah Muddathir, some say Surah Muzammil. But nonetheless, it was amongst the first chapters to be revealed after Surah Alaq. So of course, unanimously, this was a Makki chapter. And in verse 20, out of the 20 verses, Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ and establish prayer. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ and discharge zakah. So this injunction was in Makkah as well. So either or, it could be referred to the obligation of zakat, as in the discharging, or the purification, and both are equally important. And let me also take this opportunity, because often in the month of Ramadan, that's the time people calculate. So of course, it's a time that you need to fix once a year, Hawlanul Hawl, the passing of a lunar year, and then you got to discharge your zakat. And I've seen this, and I've witnessed this, and I have observed this, and I've often told people about this as well. Those that are diligent and prompt and generous in discharging their zakat, you would see divinely the barakah that they will enjoy is exponential. In addition to that, it would safeguard you against tragedies. So don't give it with a heavy hand. Don't become burdensome. Ithaqaltum ala al-ard, ithaqaltum ala al-ard. Don't become heavy. Don't clingy. Don't hold on and be tight-fisted about this. No. Be generous, be free, be open, be selfless. and this is a source of protection. When it comes to the Almighty, it is not insurance, it is assurance. It's absolute. You are investing and you are giving your zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you loads of barakah. Of course, you're discharging your due. And in addition to that, it will be a protection against tragedies. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Okay, we move on to verse number 5, still enumerating the qualities of the believers. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And those who protect and safeguard their private organs. Allahu Akbar. In a world of immorality, promiscuity, debauchery, which has become so rampant, so common, so daily, where promiscuity is staring you in your eyes on every level. Look at the beauty of Islam. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ. So, furuj would refer to both male and female, the private area. The Quran has also referred to it as sawa, right? Sawat. بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. When Sayyidina Adam and Hawa, peace be upon them both, when they ate from the forbidden tree, the Quran says, بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Sawat is from the word sawatun, and sawatun is derived from the word sa'a yasu'u. And sa'a yasu'u is fi'le dham. You have af'al madh and dham. Sa'a yasu'u literally means unpleasant, evil. So why has the satr, the private area, been referred to as unpleasant? لِأَنَّ inkishafahu, because unveiling, exposing, revealing that for a person who is salimu taba', who has a preserved nature, he'll feel very awkward, uneasy and uncomfortable to expose or unveil his private area before any person. Yes, the Quran has told us in the chapter that follows after Surah Mu'minun, Surah Nur, in terms of modesty, protection, concealment, etc. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ أَوْ آبَائِهِنَّ أَوْ آبَائِ بُعُولَتِهِنَّ. When and where and how can a person reveal, what parts of his body, etc. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Verse number 5, those who protect and safeguard their chastity. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who can safeguard the flesh between his thighs and the flesh between his jaws, then Jannah is secured for him. And surely it takes an effort of a life to protect and safeguard the flesh between your thighs and between your jaws. So casually a person can hurt someone with his tongue and just blurt things. And today people are just so irresponsible, so heedless, so oblivious. So Islam tells you either you're better off speaking than being silent. In Islam, silence per se is not an act of worship. Let's be clear about that. So Islam encourages you to make dhikr, to do good things, to encourage people to speak good things. But if you're unable to do that, then it is better to be silent. It is better to be silent. And if you, just the other day somebody phoned and said regarding a particular family member that comes home, that whenever this man walks in, he simply cannot say a kind word. It's always passing a remark, making a comment, hurling a nasty insinuation. Like some people, they're just so venomous in their, oh, you're still single. Oh, you're not married. Oh, you're still rented. Oh, this room is so small. Oh, there's no aircon here. Hang on. Harness your tongue. Because Allah can strike at any time. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. I don't want to digress, but because we spoke on the hadith of the flesh between the jaws and the flesh between your thighs. And today the world is just in constant invitation for indulgence. Enjoy, indulge, experiment. Take a bite from the forbidden fruit. May Allah save us. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an azni. Oh Allah, save me from fornication. Someone said, but oh Abu Huraira, you are the giant, you are the legend, you are the stalwart, you are this devout companion. You've narrated 5,374 ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, كيف آمن على نفسي وإبليس حي. How can I feel safe about myself when the devil is alive? And imagine today, where it's so inviting, so inciting, and so tempting, and it literally is, constantly staring you in your eyes on the phone. Somebody said that the phone is like that woman who tried to seduce Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. What did she say? Hayta lak, come on. Hayta is asma'i af'al, right? As we would refer to in Arabic grammar, that it is a noun, but then it has the meaning of a verb in it. Like hayhata, commonly asma'i af'al, in the meaning of ba'uda. So hayta, come on, asri' ilayya, come on, come on, come. Enticing, inviting. Of course, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah. We learn from what did he do when the invitation came? Immediately he sought the protection of Allah, ma'ad Allah. And he immediately fled from that place. And the scholars mention something very profound. He left that location with intense speed. Because the woman came from the rear, qaddat qamisa, and she ripped his garment. She ripped his upper garment. I like to use the word upper garment and not translate as shirt, because again, people would then use different connotations and interpretations to suggest or imply different meanings. So qamis, the upper garment, or the garment of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, for someone to rip it, that itself is suggestive that Sayyidina Yusuf was moving with speed and he fled it swiftly and then forcefully. But if you move in casually, slowly, sluggish, and then somebody comes, the likelihood is that it would not rip open. So that is an indication that he fled that scene. He fled that place. And of course, she had closed and bolted the doors. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an opening for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. In Surah Talaq, Allah tells us, whoever fears Allah, Allah will surely make an opening for him. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. But, so Allah says in verse number 5, they protect their private organs. And marriage is all about loyalty and faithfulness. And the more loyal and the more faithful you could be to your spouse, to your partner, to your faith, to your religion, the more wholesome your life is, the more wholesome your life is. Islam constantly invites us towards loyalty, morality, integrity, honesty, and not to any form of breach or betrayal. Illa ala azwajihim, but upon their spouses, aw ma malakat aymanuhum, and the slave woman whom their right hands own, the concubines. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. They will surely not be blamed about that. So verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that's the beauty of Islam. It doesn't deny you your natural instinct. It regulates it. Did you get that, my brother? Did you hear that, my sister? So Islam is not going to tell you, listen, you know what, celibacy. In English they say, marriage has thorns in it, but celibacy has no roses. To be single, la rahbaniyata fil Islam. When Uthman bin Maz'un radiyallahu anhu said that he wanted to adopt measures to, you know, destroy his desire, etc., the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is not from our teachings. That is not from our teachings. So Islam doesn't deny you that which is natural. In fact, Allah has referred to the principal inclination that the male has to the female and the female to the male as his bounty. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, amongst his signs, أَدَّلَّ عَلَىٰ قُدْرَتِهِ, which reflect his magnanimity, أَنْ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that is, created a spouse for you, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, from which you derive comfort and peace. The ayah then tells us, أَنَّ الْمَيْلَانِ إِلَى الْأَزْوَاجِ, that the sheer natural instinctive inherent inclination to the other gender, opposite gender, min minanihi ta'ala, is the boon of Allah. لِذِكْرِهِ فِي مَحَلِّ الْإِمْتِنَانِ, because Allah is mentioning it in the context of his favor. وَدَلَّ أَيْضًا عَلَىٰ عَدَمِ التَّنَافِي بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْكَمَالِ كَمَا يَزْعُمُهُ بَعْضُ الْمُتَقَشِّفِينَ مِنَ الزُّهَادِ. And it also teaches us that this is not contrary to the station of nobility, as some people might want to wrongfully assume. oh, you're such a pious person and you want to get married again and you have this inclination of marriage or polygamy. Well, principally, the Quran refers to this as the bounty and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll conclude on this here. The discussion still continues about the protection and the preservation of protecting your chastity and your morality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that great level of modesty and bashfulness. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.